Good morning. Welcome to Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. Hi, my name is John Odom. I'm the tech director here at Life Change. I just want to say thank you for joining us this morning. I also want to give you a few opportunities on how to take the next step. So first, student life, grades 6 through 12, they'll be meeting tonight at 4:30 p.m. at the Nilo household. Dinner is provided. The address is listed in the bulletin if you'd like to attend. Next is the YMCA VBS Mega Sports Camp. This is June 18th through the 22nd at The Grove. We're looking for volunteers and coaches, and this is a great way for you to serve our community. Registration ends May 1st, so text MEGA VOLS to 31996 now. And then finally, if you're interested in serving here at Life Change Church and joining a serve team, stop by the Connect desk and fill out a serve team application, or text Serve Life, one word, 31996. We'd love to have you, and we'd love to see you join. So I hope you have a good Sunday, and sit back and enjoy the message by Pastor Corbin.
Well, hey, good morning. We're so excited you're here as we are continuing to jump into our sermon series entitled Jesus Said. So over the past few weeks, what we've done is we've dug into some of the powerful words of Jesus. And again, we started this on Easter, and we learned the words, "It is finished." And we learned that it meant that it goes beyond just his life, but the fact that it is finished, it goes into the fact that our separation from God is no longer. So we learned it is finished, and then if you were with us last week, we learned how to keep our hand to the plow, and to follow Jesus means that we have to go all in. There's no plan B, there's no turning back. And what's incredible about this series is this, is that Jesus said some amazing things, right? Jesus spoke life, he spoke transformation, but he spoke some challenging words as well. He spoke some words that really change us, because Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that words change lives. And again, that's kind of the big idea for this whole series is that words change lives. Words have power. Again, words have power both in a positive way. There's probably somebody that spoke some words to you that when you were younger or just a while back that really has kept you encouraged, that maybe pushed you to that next level, that pushed you to take a step of faith that you wouldn't have normally done, right? Because if there were some encouraging positive words. And then there's some words that were probably spoken over us that were negative, or spoken to us that were negative, that really caused us to doubt ourselves. There's some words, there were some probably lies spoken to us that we've probably believed before that's kept us going to the full potential of where God has created us to be. The truth is, a simple word can change the world. It can change our world. It can change our lives. This is why it's incredibly important to what we listen to, and even more important to who we listen to. And this is why we're listening and talking about what Jesus said. Because Jesus said some incredible things. He said some tough things, and even said some things that often get misunderstood. In fact, there's times where I think we probably even have misunderstood Jesus before. In fact, in any type of communication, it's easy to sometimes have a misunderstanding, right? I don't know about you guys, but have you ever experienced a misunderstanding? Maybe you were misunderstood, or maybe you misunderstood somebody else, right? There's different forms of communication. You have like text, email, phone calls, face-to-face, and I think sometimes we misunderstand based on the form of communication. I mean, I've been there where I sent a text out, and it came across a little too blunt, came across a little too pointed, and the other person's like, man, I'm offended by that. I'm like, why would you be offended by that? Come on. But it required me to go face-to-face and then make sure I asked if they understood. There's times where we've probably all experienced that many times, right? There's times even in our relationships where we've probably been misunderstood. In fact, I was talking about this message with our worship director, DJ Comisford. We were sharing this, and it was pretty funny. He started laughing about it. I was asking him about some misunderstandings. He's like, dude, this is like Lola and me to a T. Now, if you don't know Lola, his wife, she's an amazing person. She's actually back in kids' life right now. But Lola's first language is not English. She was born in Ecuador and lived in Ecuador and Chile for most of her life. So her first language is Spanish. And if you know DJ, his first language is actually sarcasm. So like the two, they collide together and they have some misunderstandings. DJ was telling me there's some times where Lola's asking him a question and she'll form it in the form of a statement. So it leaves like DJ completely confused. And for somebody who speaks sarcasm, like they want the next step, right? So he's like, what? It throws them off. Like there's some misunderstandings. And listen, I'm just going to say this. In marriages, the language gap isn't necessarily Spanish and English. The language gap is between male and female in every relationship, right? So if you're married, you've probably had some misunderstandings. You've probably been misunderstood. You've probably misunderstood your spouse before. In fact, if you've ever talked to another human being, there's misunderstandings. There's times where we just become misunderstood. We've all been in situations like that before. And Jesus was often misunderstood as well. I think there's times where we misunderstand Jesus because some of the words he says, they're a little tough. They're a little hard to take. I don't know, I'm just going to be a little bit vulnerable here, but there's some times where like I'll be reading the scriptures, and there's some things I skip over because I don't like what they say, right? And Jesus, even the red letters, there's times where I'll skip over those, the things that Jesus said, because it's hard to take. And I think when we do this, when we skim over things like this, when we skim over his teachings and we try to put his teachings in the box, there's a lot of times we misunderstand things. We take things out of context. Because Jesus was so incredible with his words. He was so intentional with his words, and he used them in a way that he was always tying pieces together. And he was always tying away so that we could truly know how to follow him and be connected with God. So today I'm going to talk about some words that were a little tough to hear from Jesus, but it's the words that Jesus told us to do. He told us to poke our eyes out. Jesus told us to poke our eyes out, right? Those are some pretty intense things, and you're probably thinking like, whoa, this is going to be a crazy passage of scripture. Like, where are we going? But it's in Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 48. So again, if you have your handout, you can make a correction. We do fill in the blanks and corrections here in our handout. But it's Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 48. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there with me. And as always, we challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app, incredible resource to take with you. Put on your phone, put on your tablet. That way you can read the Bible every single day. But in the book of Mark, Mark is one of the four Gospels. Again, one of the four accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. In the book of Mark, here's Jesus, and he's really talking about how we can live a life that chases after him and how we can live a life that keeps us connected to God, a life of following him. And again, Jesus often spoke. He spoke in parables. He spoke in metaphors to prove a point. So in this passage of scriptures, he's actually speaking using a hyperbole. So he's using it to really show us how to deal with some issues in life. So I will give a disclaimer on this. Please do not leave here and poke your eye out. Please do not leave here and cut your hand off. Please do not leave here and cut your foot off, right? I'll say that again. Disclaimer, do not poke your eye out. And you know how all disclaimers come about? Is that somebody actually did that before. So later today, if you get bored, you can go ahead and Google that. There's different stories about how people have left church before and heard the scripture and literally went and poked their eyes out. It's pretty gross. I will warn you that, but I'm going to tell you, do not literally do this. But check this out. This is what Jesus said, and these are some tough words here. Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 48. Says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out, where the worms that eat them do not die, and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than have 2 feet and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. And then everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week. Hope you're encouraged. Right? No, this is what Jesus said, and this is some pretty tough stuff. And after reading, you're thinking like, dude, Jesus said what? Like, Jesus is crazy. I think we might actually almost feel more like the Facebook people, like, thinking, whoa, 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 hold the train here. Like, Jesus he's a little nuts. But really, his words can often be misunderstood. Again, Jesus is speaking and he's using hyperbole. But really, the conclusion, the action step, is getting to a bigger point. He's stressing the importance of living for him. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, you know what, in essence, it's better to be crippled than be thrown into hell. Right? It's better to be handless than to be thrown into hell and eternally separated from God. It's better to have one eye and be blinded than being separated from God. Like, Jesus is getting to this point, this fact that, man, that being separated from God is so intense. And he's saying all this. He's saying it's better to have a millstone around your neck and then be thrown into the sea than be going to hell. Right? It's better to have your hand cut off. It's better to have your foot cut off. It's better to have your eyes poked out. Because what Jesus is saying, he's trying to get this point across and saying, you know what? There's a bigger issue here. And he's saying you have to get to the source. You have to get to the source. And he wants us to understand this. Don't just treat the symptoms, treat the source. Don't just treat the symptoms, treat the source. See, again, Jesus was using hyperbole in his speaking, but because he knew that this issue was bigger than a hand issue, right? This issue was bigger than a foot issue. This issue was bigger than an eye issue. This issue was a heart issue. So what Jesus was doing is using illustrations to point to the fact that it goes back to the heart. And following Christ and chasing after God, staying connected with God, it goes to the heart. Living for Christ is always a heart issue. And Jesus is saying, you know what? Go to the heart. Treat the source. Don't just treat the symptoms. Treat the source. And when we treat the source, what happens is we end up seeing results. And when we treat the source in our spiritual lives, we'll see results. When we treat the source in our emotional lives, we'll see results. Even physically, you've seen this before, right? In the physical realm, we know that we see results when we treat the source. In fact, this past week, I actually came down with a cold, partially because we live in Ohio, and the weather goes from like 28 degrees and snowing to 70 degrees, and that's all in one day. It's not just like, that's one day, not a whole week. That's just one day because we live in Ohio. So that's partly why I've got sick. But part of it was really because of the source of what I was doing. Some of my lifestyle kind of slacking a little bit. So instead of I worked out maybe once a week instead of the 3-4 times a week, so I was a little more susceptible to getting sick. And instead of drinking water, I started drinking pop. And anytime I drink pop, it's like guaranteed that I'm setting myself up to get sick pretty soon because there's a source of that. I was a little bit more unhealthy, right? My diet started slacking. Like, listen, Taco Bell is a little bit cheaper and it tastes good. So sometimes I just steer that way, but man, it always leads to some type of sickness. Right? But I was doing that. So I was really looking at this and I'm getting sick. I'm like, man, I wonder what's going on. I got the symptoms. I have the stuffy nose. I have the itchy throat. I have the cough, the runny eyes, of all these things. So, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I could go to CVS and get all the CVS brand DayQuil and NyQuil because you got to save money. So you got to go the CVS route. I could go there and get all that to treat the symptoms, or I could get a little deeper. I could go to the source. I could rest a little bit more. Right, I could start drinking a little bit more water. I could stop drinking pop. I could start, you know, stop eating the Taco Bell. I could start eating a little bit better. So that's what I did and ended up getting better pretty quick, right? I could start exercising a little bit, sweat some more of that out. And that's what I did. That's a physical truth that when we treat the source, it makes everything better. And the same is true in our spiritual lives, right? Oftentimes, I think we feel disconnected from God. Oftentimes, I think we lose our way. There's times where we never seem to really get on the path that we know that God has us to be. There's times, if we're honest, where we're just spiritually off. Right? There's times where we just feel spiritually sick. And what I think we do too much is instead of actually going to the source, what we do is we treat the symptoms. We see these symptoms that pop up in our spiritual life, like sadness, like loneliness, like anxiety, like greed, like impurity. We see these symptoms. They come up. Depression, whatever it is, we see these symptoms come up, and we just try to treat the symptoms. And we just try to use religion or religious activity as a form of medicine. And again, religious activity is not a bad thing. But if we're just using it as a form of medicine, we'll never really get to the real issue. Right? If we just use it as a form of medicine, we'll never solve the problem. There's no amount of journaling. There's no amount of Bible reading. There's no amount of going to church that can fix, really just fix a symptom. But it can fix the source. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't just treat the symptoms, treat the source. Deal with the heart issue. Deal with the root of the problem. Dig a little bit deeper. And the truth is, in our spiritual lives, what it usually comes down to, and what it boils down to, is some type of sin in our life. some type of sin that we're continuing to do or not willing to accept forgiveness for. That's really the root. That's the heart issue, right? And this is what sin is. Sin is choosing our way over God's way. And there's been times where we've all done it. And for some of us, we're holding on to that decision. We're holding on to either following that decision and living it out, or we're holding on to the regret and the remorse and the guilt that that decision caused in our lives. But too many times, we're not willing to deal with that sin. And sin started with Adam and Eve in the garden, and we've had it ever since. And what sin does is it separates us from God. What sin is, it's a source of a sickness. And it shows up in many different forms. Sin shows up in the form of a trespass, which is deliberately choosing rebellion in our lives over an area of where we should be choosing obedience. Sin shows up in the form of a transgression, which is really any act that goes against God and His Word. And also shows up in a form of an iniquity. Really what that is it's a failing. It's a failure on our part. It's a falling short of His standard. And the truth is at one time or another, we've all done this, right? We've all sinned. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And the result, though, is this. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The result is death, unless we're willing to deal with it. Unless we're willing to give it to Christ and accept the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. So let me ask you, is there a sin that you haven't given over to Christ? Is there a rebellious spirit that you're holding on to somewhere in your life that's sabotaging your faith? Is there an act that you've done that's keeping you spiritually sick? Is there something that you've never asked forgiveness for? Or is there something that maybe you've never even accepted forgiveness for? Is there a failure in your life that you haven't given over to Christ to fully redeem? Sin is that separation from God, and it sabotages us. It sabotages our faith. Is there any areas where sin is sabotaging your faith? Is there any area where that source is leading to symptoms growing in your life? Listen, that source is that sin, and we have to deal with it. And how we deal with sin is through repentance, through turning away from sin. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Cut off your hand, cut off your foot, poke your eyes out. Deal with the real issue. Deal with the sin in your life. Don't just treat the symptoms. Treat the source." I think the problem is, too many times we don't deal with the source. For us with ourselves, too many times we don't deal with sin in our life, or we don't deal with it correctly. Right? Too many times, instead of going to the source, instead of actually going to the sin, we just deal with the symptoms of it. And the symptoms can be intense. The symptoms can be a real struggle in our lives, because what happens upon them is the symptoms begin to add up upon each other, right? They begin to stack up. They begin to build up. They kind of grow and have this snowball effect in our life. And too many times we just deal with the symptoms, but we're never getting to the source, so that a snowball continues to grow and grow and grow. And the reason we don't deal with the source is because really we're afraid. Like really a lot of times we're just afraid to acknowledge that there's some type of sin in our life. We're afraid to acknowledge it because we know that sin actually does have consequences. So we're afraid to address the consequences. We're afraid of the embarrassment that it might come and it might bring to us as well. We're afraid of the pain that may cause as well, right? The pain that's going to cost to somebody else, the pain that's going to cost to us. We're afraid what people are going to think. We think the cost is too high. We're afraid what people are going to say. We're afraid what people are going to say to us and behind our backs, right? So we don't deal with it. We don't bring it up. John 3:20 says it this way. It says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed." I think for many of us, we have this fear of being exposed. We have this fear of being exposed because sin is messy. Our lives are messy. So what we try to do is we usually just try to cover it up. We try to hide it. I kind of think about this way. Kind of think about like a toddler who's potty training. You've all been around them, whether they're wearing underwear or whether they're wearing diapers, but they have an accident, and they know they're not supposed to, so what do? They'll go hide in a corner. They'll go be quiet about it, right? And then pretty soon you walk around, man, there's something smelling. There's something stinking. Like, the symptoms give it away. You know that something's happening, right? Now, it's easy. You could go to the toddler and say, you know what? Oh, I'll just throw another pair of underwear over top of that. And I'll, here, get some Febreze. I'll spray you down. That'll last for like 30 seconds, right? No, what you have to do is you have to go to the source. You have to change the diaper. And to change the diaper, it gets a little messy. It gets a little gross. There's some things you have to do. I think in our lives, there's a lot of times where we have to get to the source, and sin is messy. But for too many of us, what we do is we just try to put another pair of underwear over top of it. We try to spray the thing with Febreze, but it tells itself out. Like, it'll call itself out because the symptoms will come, and they'll get worse and worse and worse, because this is what sin does. It leaves us stinking, and it leaves us decaying, because sin destroys. Sin destroys every part of our life. It may be fun in the meantime. It may be fun in the moment, but the results is always destruction. Sin destroys marriages. Sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys finances. Listen, some of us, we're still paying off some of our sin from way back when, right? It destroys these things. It destroys our emotion. It destroys our confidence, because that's what sin does. It destroys us, and it separates us from God. It keeps us from fulfilling our purpose. It keeps us from really meeting our potential, and it holds us back. It holds us back in regret. It holds us back in pain. It holds us back in all these things, and it plagues us with symptoms. Listen, this is why God hates sin so much. Some of you guys have heard the thing, oh, God hates sin. You're thinking like, oh, God's just against fun. No, God's not against fun. God's against something that keeps him from you. God's against things that separate us from him. God hates sin so much because it destroys the people he loves. Listen, our God is a good, good father. He loves each and every one of us, and he hates to watch us self-destruct. This is why he hates sin so much, and this is why he gave his one and only son, right? This is why Jesus came and lived a perfect life, the only sinless life, and then to pay the penalty that we all deserve, but to be risen again, to set us free, to redeem us, because God loves us so much, and he hates anything that separates us from him. He wants us to experience his kingdom. He wants to lead us away from that eternal separation with him. See, he knows the results of sin. He knows the destruction of sin, and he wants us to be free from that. He wants us to be free from that, and he wants us to run from it as fast as we can. Because what sin does, it gives the devil a foothold in our life. It allows the devil to speak lies in our life. And listen, Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil a foothold. Listen, you'll only be as free as your deepest, darkest, hidden sin. Some of us, we have secrets here today because we think that, man, I'll never get past that. Listen, what I want you to understand is this, is God is bigger than any sin that you've ever committed. God is bigger than any secret that you have, right? God is bigger than any foothold that Satan may have planted in your life. He's bigger than any act of adultery. He's bigger than any lie. He's bigger than any theft. He's bigger than any type of rebellion that you've ever had. God is bigger. So don't let that secret hold you down. Don't let that sin keep you captive. You can be set free, and you can live in that forgiveness. You don't have to live in regret. You don't have to live in shame, because you're a child of God, and you are forgiven. But you have to deal with the source, and you have to go to the source. To deal with the source, you have to go to the source. So don't just treat the symptoms. Treat the source. Jesus is telling us to treat the source and not the symptoms by just addressing sin head on. So to live this out, we need to follow through what Jesus is saying. Not literally poking your eye out, not literally cutting your foot off, not literally cutting your hand off, but going to the source, going to your heart, going to the sin and dealing with it. So here's my challenge for you today. Number one is to deal with sin immediately. Deal with sin immediately in your life. Don't put it on the back burner. Don't wait, but deal with it immediately. Right? Deal with the deeper issue. Deal with the heart issue. Listen, avoiding an act doesn't necessarily address the heart. And you know Jesus always is after the heart. So let me ask you, is there something in your life right now that you've been avoiding? Right now it's a little awkward, right? Nobody wants to look around. Nobody wants to make eye contact with anybody, because you know that one person that makes eye contact with you is that one person that's avoiding an issue. Let's just be honest. I've been in these lessons before, and it's really uncomfortable. But listen, this uncomfortableness, it's a good thing. Listen, get uncomfortable for a minute. The truth is, comfort is the enemy of progress. And some of us, we need to make some progress with our heart issues. Some of us, we need to make some progress with some sin that we have in our life. We need to address it, and we need to confront it, and we need to deal with it, and we need to deal with it immediately. So let me ask you, is there a sin that you have been avoiding? Is there an issue that you've been sweeping under the rug in your life? It's time to deal with it. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Listen, it's time to deal with sin. You got to get that stuff out, man. It's eating away at you. Get it out. Instead of concealing it, deal with it. End it. Stop it. Repent. Deal with it immediately so that you can find mercy. Deal with it immediately so that you can prosper. God wants the best for you, and He's bigger than any secret you have. He's bigger than any sin you have. He loves you, and He wants you to deal with it immediately. His kindness is what leads to repentance. A lot of us, we think it's His anger, His wrath. But Bible says, Scripture says, His kindness is what leads to repentance. For us to truly repent, for us to deal with that sin immediately, we've got to accept His kindness. For some of you, that means you have some hard conversations coming up today, this week. But understand this. His kindness will surround you in all that. Whatever it is, deal with the sin immediately. Number two is this. Deal with the sin decisively. Deal with the sin decisively. Deal with it in a manner that produces a clear result. Deal with it in a way that settles the issue, that leaves no questioning. Like, don't tiptoe around it. Don't hem-haw around it. Don't be nonchalant about it. But address it, and address it in a decisive manner. Listen, when dealing with sin, there's no, I kind of did this, or, well, I sort of did this, or, you know, it was kind of bad, but wasn't too shabby. It was okay. So instead, I'm just going to try a little harder. I'll get a little bit better. I'll do my best. No, be clear about it. Own it. Say, you know what? I did this, and I'm never going to do it again, right? To do this, though, you have to get real. You have to get real, and you have to be willing to have some hard conversations. You have to be willing to have someone who really can know all your dirt. You have to be willing to put someone in your life that can keep you accountable. Listen, this is why we do life groups at Life Change Church, because we want to intentionally put relationships in your life where you can trust and you can share your dirt with people, where people can keep you accountable. And again, we have life groups that are starting next week. They're revamping. So I challenge you, at the end of the service, you can actually sign up just by tearing this off, and you can sign up for one of the groups. But have a plan. To be decisive about sin in our life, we have to have a plan. We have to address it with action, and we have to be decisive about it. Be decisive in a way that sin won't come back. Find somebody that will keep you accountable. Find somebody that you can be real with. Deal with it decisively. And then number three is deal with the sin in an extreme manner. Deal with the sin in an extreme manner. This means going against the norm. Again, Jesus said, cut off your foot, cut off your hand, poke your eyes out, right? This is, again, he's using hyperbole. He's not being real, but he's saying, you know what? It's time to get a little different. It's time to get a little extreme. Do something extreme. Colossians 3:5 says this. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death those things. Put to death our earthly nature. Listen, that's extreme, but it's what we're called to do. Put to death any sin. Put to death any area where that sin can come crawling back. Deal with it in an extreme manner. So think about it. What's something that you could do that's extreme this week? What's a way that you could treat the source? What's a way that you could address sin head on in an extreme manner? Listen, if your struggle is eating your feelings away, maybe your struggle is gluttony or whatever it is, listen, maybe for you, maybe you need to get a little extreme. Maybe you need to get a little extreme and go to the pantry and start throwing all your junk food away. And maybe your struggle is pornography, right? Maybe it's time to get a little extreme. Maybe it's time to take it up to the next level and have somebody monitor all your devices, right? Have somebody that checks on you and keeps you accountable. It's time to get a little extreme. Maybe you're in a relationship right now and you're not married. Maybe you're being a little promiscuous. Maybe it's time to end that relationship. It's time to get extreme. Maybe for you, the struggle is a drug abuse or alcohol abuse. Maybe for you, it's to subject yourself to some random testing. Whatever it is, listen, it's time to go against the norm and to get extreme. Deal with sin in an extreme manner. Listen, as we close, I want you to think about this. I want you to ask yourself, I want you to take a few minutes and to let go of all that denial. Let go of all those things that you hide under, that you sweep under the rug. And I want you just to get honest with yourself, and I want you to get honest with God. And I want you to self-diagnose some symptoms. Self-diagnose some symptoms and get to the source. Is there a sin that's been unconfessed in your life? Is there a sin that you've never truly accepted forgiveness for in your life that's causing those symptoms? Think about it. What is that? And how can you deal with it immediately? How can you deal with it in a decisive way? What's an extreme measure that you need to take? What's something that you can do this week? And here's the really scary part about this. Every single one of us is better together than we are alone. So who's someone that you can share your diagnosis with? Who's someone that you can ask to keep you accountable? Who's someone that you can ask to pray with you and to help you through and to help you to get over that sin, to help you get over that secret? Who's that person? If you would, pull out your response card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe you're here today, and maybe for you, maybe you've had that sin, that separation. And maybe you've never fully given it over to Christ. Maybe you've never made a commitment to follow Him. Or maybe you did, but you walked away. Listen, if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to take that first step. To take that first step to commit your life to Christ and ask Him for forgiveness of all your sins. If that's you, you can checkmark that first box on that card. Maybe here today, maybe God's asking you to deal with something immediately today. Maybe God's asking you to deal with something decisively. Maybe God's asking you to deal with something in an extreme manner, whatever that is. Again, you can be vulnerable, but I would challenge you to write that down. And what we do is I'll pray for you specifically of what you're going through. There's also a place for prayer requests where we want to partner with you in prayer. But there's power in prayer. In fact, if you were here last week, we challenged you to put some excuses up on the cross. And what's incredible is this. You might not have known this, but we took those and we did it in a very confidential way, but we had a group pray over those. We had a group pray over those on Sunday night. And what was crazy is, within minutes of we started praying, I got 3 text messages saying, dude, this excuse is it. And I don't know what you're praying for or what happened, but God's doing something right now. The truth is, prayer works. So when I ask you to fill out these cards, it's more than just say, oh, I want you to fill these out. I want to be able to pray with you. It's an incredible honor to partner with you and to walk with you with what you're going through. So I challenge you to fill these out right now. As the band begins to play, fill this out and then get any tithes or offerings ready, and I'll be up in just a moment to explain the next steps.
Behold the Father's heart, the mystery He lavishes on. Cries out to deep, how desperately He wants us. The things of the earth stand next to Him like a candle in the sun.
The offering ushers would please come. Dearly Father God, we thank You. God, we thank You for Your presence. God, we thank You for Your hard words, God. We thank You for Your truth. It's sometimes hard to take, but the results are that connection with You. And God, we pray right now that these words, these responses are more than words, but there'll be a true life change because of it. And God, we thank You too. We thank You for this opportunity to give back so that others can experience that, so that others can be set free, so that others don't have to live in bondage and don't have to live in captivity, but they can be free through You. God, we pray that this offering will be multiplied so that others will experience life. God, we love you and we thank you. And we give this as an act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the ushers pass the buckets. I do want to just take a moment just to thank you guys all. So what you guys don't know is that obviously through your tithes, through your giving, is we've seen some incredible things. We've been able to keep the lights on at the church and been rolling for 3 years, which is amazing. But not only that, yeah. Not only that, though, it goes outside these walls. And that's the big thing. So it goes outside these walls. We partner with different ministries and different organizations. One of them is the food pantry in Licking County. And because of you, we've been able to give to the food pantry since day one and provide people for food. So I just want you to know that when you give, it goes beyond these walls. And it's just an incredible blessing. And I just want to honor all you guys in that, being faithful stewards of what God's entrusted us with. So just an amazing thing. So let's continue to worship, though, as we close.